You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Steelers lost 30-6 in embarrassing fashion to the Houston Texans to drop to 2-2. We break down the worst parts of it, how much of it is on coaching versus player execution, and a lot of other elements to break down in that loss. I'm your host, Chris Carter of the North Shore Drive Podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined today by Ray Fittipaldi, who was there in Houston breaking down the scene. We got a lot to talk about here today. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. We are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this show, as well as with the daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Just search Post-Gazette Sports, whether it's in your YouTube or your favorite podcasting app, and you can find all our episodes here all week long. Reminder, we are sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, where you can go and watch any game you want on over 20 televisions that they have and try one of their many different beers. They have over 500 available at all times. 300 of those beers are local. 80 of those local beers are available on tap, so you can mix and match your favorites to create an awesome flight option when you go to Mike's Beer Bar. More on them later. Ray Fittipaldi was there for the scene for the Steelers. Second blowout loss of the season, 30-7 to the Niners and now 30-6 to the Texans. But this comes with a very different kind of sting, Ray, because I think everyone can kind of look at the Niners and say that's the best team in football. Maybe you want to say it's the Bills or something else, but the Niners are right up there. The Texans aren't that. They have a rookie quarterback, a new head coach, a new whole system that they've adopted, and that system dismantled the Steelers in this game. Mike Tomlin talked about that there were going to be changes, but Ray, I know a lot of people have been asking for changes a lot for the Steelers. What do you see that the coaching staff isn't getting right about their approach to these type of games?
Well, listen, Mike Tomlin says that every time there's a lot of controversy around the Steelers, those stars. We've seen it back in 2019, and again in the last couple of seasons. He always says that. And the changes are few and far between, Chris. I mean, what can the Steelers do? Maybe you play Joey Porter Jr. more. Maybe you start him over Levi Wallace or Patrick Peterson. I don't know if that would help, but maybe you can do that. But honestly, if you look around with the injuries they have, there's not a lot of options for them to do a lot of things personnel-wise. So, you know, I think the answers are probably more in their scheme, in how they game plan, those types of things. People, you know, looking out for big time personnel changes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to happen, Chris. I just don't think they have the options right now with how many people are either on IR or dealing with the latest injuries in the fallout of the game in Houston on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Like, I don't think that this is, like, when people hear that, people want heads to roll. Like they want change. They want people fired. They want headlines of this guy is gone. And that's not necessarily what always needs to happen, in my opinion, when you're talking about changes. Changes can simply be changes in roles and responsibility, changes in focuses in the game plan and how to look at things. Like, for example, the Texans came into this game and their game plan was to neutralize the Steelers' edge rushers, which they did. They used their tight ends and receivers to crack down and double team on the edge rushers while calling plays that would get players away from them, whether it was pitches to the outside while those crackdown blocks were happening and forcing, hey, we're not going to let TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith wreck the game. We're going to force Cole Holcomb and the linebackers to find us, or running up the middle and trying to take advantage of the Steelers' interior defensive line. And they did that very well until the Steelers adjusted to it and at least bought the offensive time. But on the Steelers' offensive side, they had plans, but none of those plans were executed. And I know everyone wants to point at play calling, and you certainly can. I'm not here to defend Matt Canada's play calling, but there are plays to be had out there. And I wasn't there for the stadium, so I didn't get to see, you know, the press box level view the way I normally do and be like, oh, this guy was open, this guy was open. But on the limited replays that we saw on TV, each time I was like, man, there were options open on these plays. And what it continues to tell me is that if Kenny Pickett, who got injured, and we'll talk about Kenny Pickett in the next segment here, but what it continues to tell me is if Kenny Pickett is continuing to get open guys and he continually isn't seeing them, is looking the wrong way or doing something, this is a young quarterback. And Matt Canada, where his main job that everyone talks about is calling plays, but his main job is also to manifest good play from Kenny Pickett, and that's making sure that he sees where he needs to go in his offense. This isn't veteran quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, who should just be able to see where that stuff is, execute, and go. He has to get Kenny Pickett on the same page as him, and he's just not.
I mean, listen, Kenny Pickett might have missed a few receivers today. Honestly, Chris, I mean, from the press box view, I don't think it was a great game for the receivers either. I thought it was an awful game for Kenny Pickett, to be honest with you. Happy feet in the pocket again, bailing at the very hint of pressure, sometimes no pressure at all, and he wants to bail, and he wants to, you know, roll out and make a play. And, hey, listen, it worked on the 32-yard catch to Najee Harris, but more often than not, you know, you're not going to have success. The play is designed in pocket for a reason, and he's just not making those reads. And, you know, he's not trusting his offensive lineman. He's not trusting his receivers. I thought it was really interesting. And it's a bad look for this offense, Chris. The leading receiver in this game for the Steelers was Najee Harris.
Yep.
He had that one catch for 32 yards.
Mm-hmm.
The second leading receiver was Jaylen Warren,
mm-hmm.
who I think had, I don't know, he had four or five catches for 26 yards.
Yep.
I mean, the idea of having George Pickens on this team, and believe me, I know the Texans did some stuff to take him out of the game. I understand that. But Allen Robinson, Calvin Austin, I mean, you're a professional football team. The absence of Deontay Johnson cannot hurt you this much.
Yeah.
So, again, I know there are deficiencies in personnel. I know Allen Robinson is at the tail end of his career. I know Calvin Austin is in only his second year and really his first year because he didn't play much last year. I understand it. But when you look at the Texans' design and the way they scheme people open and the way they scheme their running game, and then you compare it to what's going on here in Pittsburgh, 3 years under Matt Canada, I mean, this is an entirely new coaching staff.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's night and day, and it shouldn't be that way. So, I mean, I get it. Not all the blame goes on Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin, but my God, certainly some of the blame does.
My stance is this. You can put a lot of blame on them for this. And again, it's not even necessarily the play call itself, but when you call those plays that you're calling that people are, you got to get your offense to understand that's where you have to go with the ball. And that's what I think that they're not doing, is that you see Kenny Pickett, all, like, for example, on that fourth down play where he got injured, they had Connor Hayward open over the middle. He ran a hitch, was open, then kind of extended his hitch over the middle part of the field, was still open. You also had Calvin Austin, I believe, running a post route and found it a soft spot in the Texan zone. Both those guys open, and the offensive line blocked it so that there was a path for Kenny Pickett to run forward. He runs left to the outside of Broderick Jones, where he sealed his man off, and then gets sacked and he gets hurt. And you hope that he's not injured for the long term. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break here. But it's things like that that, you know, whereas, yes, that's on the player's execution. But at some point, when he keeps doing that, you as a coach are then responsible for saying, hey, young guy, like, follow my system. That's what Kyle Shanahan is praised so well for doing with Brock Purdy. That's what D'Amico Ryans and the Texans staff is doing so well for C.J. Stroud. I mean, they talked about on the broadcast for CBS and how C.J. Stroud has talked about how sometimes he knows what his coordinator is going to call next because of their synergy. That is obviously non-existent for the Steelers offense, and I think that's the biggest problem. Forget what the play call is. Even when it's called up and there is a play to be made there, he doesn't know where to go with it. And that to me, I think, is the biggest issue the Steelers face. And I'm not sure how they address it if they haven't already.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris, you're right. There is a big disconnect there. But let's get to the nitty gritty of the formation and lining up in the shotgun on that 4th-and-1. If you remember, the Steelers came out and really ran the ball well for much of the third quarter.
Yeah.
I think the bulk of Najee Harris's running yards all came in that third quarter. So they decided at halftime, we're going to come out, establish a run, and maybe we can do some things off that. So they kick two field goals. They get down there again. And listen, it's 4th-and-1. I get it. But when you go to shotgun and you're not under center, there's no threat to run, right? I mean, I guess you could run out of shotgun, but most teams aren't going to run out of shotgun in this situation. And number two, there's no throw to play action. I mean, the reason you want to run the ball is so you could do play action off that, like we saw last week in Las Vegas. So I don't know. You know, this stuff with Matt Canada, I sometimes want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but there are times on like that 4th-and-1 call where I just don't get where he's coming from, why you would want to go to that formation and definitely pass the ball instead of giving your quarterback options under center. I just don't get it. So believe me, a lot of the blame goes on Pickett, but I think there's plenty of blame there for Canada too, calling that play in that situation.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying the play shouldn't have been a run, because certainly you were running the football. Najee, even a quarterback sneak there would have made sense on a 4th-and-1, regardless of how long it was. But
Or a play action
out of that. And maybe you want to say, hey, the play action actually got Kenny hit a few times. Maybe not. Okay, fine. But either way, like that play call was away from the strength of what the Steelers were doing. But even in doing so, it gave them open opportunities to convert there. And I think that's the problem, is that they're calling things away from the strengths and giving them opportunities, and those opportunities aren't even being taken. And that's what makes this such a huge mess for the Steelers offense. We'll talk more about that offense in a minute here, personnel-wise, and what's going on with Kenny Pickett's injury on the other side of the break here of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, I want to remind you guys, we're sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, right on the North Shore, across the street from PNC Park. If you're ever in the North Shore, go check out Mike's. Why? Because they have over 20 televisions that you can catch all your favorite action on in sports, whether that's NFL football, college football, Pirates, Penguins. Pirates just finished their season, so you can catch the MLB playoffs there. Penguins, as they're starting up, Riverhounds, even Premier League action is available at Mike's. Just, you can even reserve a table ahead of time and book a table with a specific TV and get that TV tuned to your game all game long, so you don't got to worry about missing the game if you can't find it on your TV. And trust me, they'll find it for you. And also, while you're there, you're trying out one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being available on tap, so you can mix and match whatever you want in a flight combination that will surprise you every single time. And they're always changing and finding new beers every single week. You can also try their amazing food options like steak on a stone, where your choice cut of steak is brought to you on a heated stone. And with each piece you cut, you press into that heated stone, and you can choose how well you want your steak cut with every single bite. It is an amazing experience, just like Mike's Beer Bar is an amazing experience all around. Go to Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore to get your sports fix and experience the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking things about these Pittsburgh Steelers who lost 30-6 to the Houston Texans in an embarrassing fashion. But let's get to the offense. We've talked about coaching, and we can still talk about coaching in this segment. I want to lead off with Kenny Pickett. In this game, he was pretty rough, wasn't seeing the field, didn't look like he was sure of anything that was out there. And then he gets hurt on that fourth down play where he reaches for his knee. He limps off the field. There's been a lot of speculation as far as what it could be, Ray. Do we have any sense as of late? This is being recorded late Sunday night. Is there any sense of what the injury might be or how serious it could be for Kenny Pickett?
Well, they're not going to know, Chris, until they do an MRI. And, the Steelers had mechanical issues with their charter plane again on Sunday night. They probably weren't going to land in Pittsburgh, until around 11 p.m. So that MRI is likely to take place on Monday morning. So word might leak out by Monday afternoon, Monday evening about the extent of his injury. But I think the Steelers are hoping it's more of a minor injury that only keeps him out a few weeks. The speculation right now is, the word is that this is probably not anything that's going to keep him out longer term. So, that's good news for Kenny Pickett. But I doubt that they're going to be able to get him ready in 6 days to play the Ravens, especially with a bye the week after. I think they'll want to give that knee time to heal, and maybe he can come back for that October 22nd game in LA against the Rams.
Yeah, that's a big question as far as what's going to happen here as far as the bye week. There's speculation, could be an MCL, could be an ACL. We haven't heard anything, and that's the thing. So if you're hearing something right now, unless it's from from a person who sources, I'm sure Jerry Dulac is on that right now. You're Ray, Brian, you guys are as a team trying to hunt that down. And I'm sure we'll hear a report at some point. The way I usually see this timeline work is the injury happens on Sunday. The team gets back. They do some tests. That information might leak out by Monday morning, Monday early afternoon, and then we get an official notice from Mike Tomlin on Tuesday as far as how that'll happen. So that's kind of the timeline that we're looking at here. But let's talk about this offense as a whole. Ray, one aspect of this offense that worked in this game, that actually looked like it gave the Steelers a fighting chance, was Najee Harris. And that's not something that people, all anticipate to see. He had 14 carries for 71 yards. That's 5.1 yards per carry. Caught one pass on two targets. The first catch he made was ridiculous. If he made that second catch, it would have been even more ridiculous. But he caught that pass and got 32 yards out of it. And he looked like single-handedly he was trying to keep the Steelers offense in the game. I thought that was encouraging to see, but the problem was it seemed like nobody was following that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's be honest. He did most of that on his own. I don't know how much of that was blocking, schematics where they were doing a great job of getting him holes. A lot of that was just hard running, and, he made something out of nothing. So I don't know if that's a positive or a negative going forward, to be quite honest with you. Chris, you look at what happened in the first half. The running game, again, was non-existent. They had, the early three and outs, the early turnovers, which just has become an all-too-familiar refrain for this offensive unit. So, I want to have some hope for the offense. Maybe they can pin their hopes on the running game. Maybe this was a jumping-off point for Najee Harris, but I don't know. I'm just probably going to lean towards he had one nice quarter, made some hard runs, and maybe that's all there is to it.
Maybe there was. But in an entire game, when he's your only offense, it makes you look around and say, what else is happening here? Ray, I didn't get a chance to focus too much on Broderick Jones specifically yet because there were so many problems happening on offense. What did you see out of Broderick Jones, and what did he sound like in the locker room after the game?
Yeah, Broderick talked after the game. He was at a loss like everyone else is on about what the issues are. Listen, he's a rookie coming in. He's probably swimming, trying to get his bearings. And, I'm sure it's hard for him to decipher exactly what is wrong with this offense. But I didn't think he was overwhelmed at all. I thought it maybe. you know, taking a stab in the dark here, but I thought the running game improved when he was in there. So maybe his presence, you know, early in the second half was part of the reason they ran the ball well. But people have been clamoring for this to happen. It finally happened because of an injury to Dan Moore. That's unfortunate. But again, like with Kenny, Chris, the bye week coming up after the Ravens game makes all the sense in the world for Dan Moore not to play this week if that injury is serious at all. Have Broderick Jones go in there, and it's invaluable experience for a guy who eventually is going to be your left tackle. So I think this is a very important time for Broderick Jones and his development with the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. There's gonna be a lot of problems there. But we also saw, as you said before, the receivers didn't necessarily do a great job of getting open consistently throughout this game, fighting through that. George Pickens had a pass in the end zone that hit him in the hands, and yes, there was a good breakup there. But that's where George Pickens is supposed to make his money, is winning those kind of combat catches. We didn't see much from him there. What is the issue right now? If there's anything to pinpoint that's going on with the Steelers receivers, because I'll say this: I thought when I looked back at George Pickens all 22 for the first three games, he got a lot more separation, and like even some of the advanced stat trackers out there were saying that he was getting good separation. But in this game, it seemed like he did not. What do you think that the big problem has been?
Yeah, I mean, smart coaching on the part of the Texans. I mean, you look around, you got George Pickens, or you got Calvin Austin. And Allen Robinson, who are you gonna double? Who are you gonna sort of scheme to take out of the game? It's George Pickens, you know. And I don't know if this is Matt Canada or if this is Kenny Pickett. And I get it. You want to target Calvin Austin, but you know, the deep ball was nice last week. They hit on it. Throwing a deep ball to your smallest receiver, who's not going to be good in combat catches. I don't totally get that. I understand Kenny faced a little bit of pressure there. That's the reason it was underthrown. But how about George Pickens running that route, taking the deep shot with George Pickens? I didn't necessarily see it today, but I saw it a couple times in Las Vegas. Like the back shoulder catches to Calvin Austin. Again, your smallest receiver in one-on-one situations have to make difficult catches. I don't get it. Like, get him involved. Bodies on the outside and in the deep game. So, I understand that Deontay Johnson is missing and his absence is adversely affecting this game, this passing game. But to me, these guys just aren't being used in the ways that they need to be used, in my opinion.
That is a good point here, is that if you're going to use guys, they need to be in the situations that are most advantageous to them. That the Calvin Austin touchdown did work last week, on the deep ball. And on the deep ball to him there, I mean, I thought he got past Steven Nelson. Like, the ball was behind him. If he leads him deeper down the field, Steven Nelson is playing chase there, and you're telling an older cornerback to catch up with a younger, faster wide receiver. I think that the ball placement has to be better there. But to your point, oftentimes you need to get your biggest playmaker in those situations. And George Pickens, not only does he have the speed to win in those situations, but that is his MO, is winning those combat catches. And maybe he does a better job fighting with Steven Nelson there on that play. But we won't be able to say it. Last thing here, Ray, I think one thing the offense needs to do more of is getting Darnell Washington involved, if not just the tight end position as a whole. Pat Freiermuth got some catches early on in this game. I think he had, what, 3 catches for 7 yards. That's not at all what you want.
He lost 6 yards on one catch. Chris, in 4 games, he has 46 receiving yards.
It's ridiculous.
I know he has 2 touchdowns. I understand that, but, I mean, that's just putrid.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Usage of your tight end.
And again, like, even beyond him, Darnell Washington, when I go back and I watch games, I was looking at even parts of this game, there's times that he's wide open. He's just not even targeted. And I'm like, like, that's that dude. And the one time he was targeted in this game, you saw as soon as he caught the ball, as soon as he turned, he squared up, got downfield. He was a Mack truck, the same Mack truck we saw at Georgia, and he was a problem. But again, it seemed like he's not being, you know, worked into this consistently enough. And that's where I go back to, you know, Matt Canada. It may not be just pure play calling. It might be play calling here and there, but also not getting your quarterback to go where he needs to go with the football at the right time. Again, this does stem back to coaching, as Mike Tomlin won't allude that fact. He brought up preparation and those things. And in fact, Ray, I think what's even more telling is that he brought up how on Tuesday at the Steelers press conference, the Steelers have to be better prepared for what opponents are trying to do to them. He said that directly. I think he said that even in his opening statement before we asked him questions. Yeah. And this was not the response that you get, that you want when you make that like the one of the clearest messages to your team at that. They come out and lay an absolute egg. And I think it's just another sign of the problems the Steelers are facing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at what the 49ers did to them, and you said it at the top, maybe the 49ers are one of the best teams in the NFL, but a very similar scheme down here in Houston, same. D'Amico Ryans was a disciple of Kyle Shanahan. He brought over that 49ers offense with Bobby Slowick. And it's just a testament to what good coaching and what good scheming can do. Obviously, the Steelers have had a problem playing against that scheme, adjusting to that scheme. And the fact that they weren't able to adjust over a four-game span, over a three-week span between those games, not only is it very disappointing, but I don't think it bodes well for the future of this team this season.
Certainly doesn't. We'll talk about how the future bodes for the defense this season, because that was also a bad statement against a team with a backup offensive line. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter with Ray Fittipaldo. But first, before we go anywhere else, we'll remind you this show is also sponsored by Savinas Kane and Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinas Kane and Gallucci. Also sponsored by GameTime.co, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you've ever had to buy tickets for an event, weren't comfortable with how much you're about to pay for those tickets, or comfortable where those seats might be in the view, that's the kind of stuff that happens to me whenever I'm running late and I need to find tickets at the last minute to an event that I wasn't even sure I'd be able to make. But when I use Game Time, that's not an issue. Why? If you download the Game Time app today, you can see that when you allow you to book tickets, even up to the last minute, you can plan that out in advance, because it lets you see where with a view from your seat. It lets you see all the advantages that you're about to get and all the prices. No hidden fees, nothing that catches you in the back end. You just see the price, two taps of a button, that ticket is yours. Running behind on an event, it even lets you buy tickets and see those tickets up to an hour after the start of events. Get tickets for the next Steelers game, the next Penguins games as they start to get going, pit games, anything in town, as well as any comedy events, theater events, or concerts in the Pittsburgh area or abroad. In Game Time has the best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets in the same section or row for less somewhere else, Game Time credits you 110% of the difference. That's the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to the website GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, I'm Chris Carter with Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, want to talk about this defense. This defense, I think, was a big factor in the Steelers winning the two games that they've won. And I think that they did respond eventually to the Texans' opening drive with that. They came out, walked down the field, got that touchdown, and they had three field goals in the first half. But in the third quarter, they come out, they respond, they force some three and outs. But still, ultimately in this game, you have a rushing offense that was able to get things going on the ground, not in a completely dominant way, but in a way that at least helped neutralize the Steelers' defensive efforts to get into splash play situations. And then when it came to C.J. Stroud, the man goes for 16 for 30, not a great completion percentage, but 306 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. They even had a running back throw a touchdown on them. And the Texans go 6 for 12 on third downs throughout the game. What is the biggest problem that you see for this defense right now?
Can't stop the run. 139 yards for the Texans today. Not the big plays that we've seen previously with McCaffrey and with the Cleveland Browns, but They methodically had the ball run down their throats. And listen, when the only way the Steelers defense is going to be successful, and we've seen this play out over the first four games of the season, is you put the other team in second and long or third and long, and then you let the pass rush get after them. That's when TJ Watt is going to be effective. That's when Alex Highsmith is going to be effective. They're not going to be effective when it's second and three or when it's third and two. It's just they're not going to be effective football players. And, you know, we've seen that the offensive line, or excuse me, the defensive line without Cam Hayward isn't playing very well. You know, Keanu Benton, DeMarvin Leal, maybe we're asking too much too soon, but they're just not very good run defenders at this point. And I don't think they're getting much help from the inside linebackers either. I mean, Landon Roberts and Cole Holcomb had 17 tackles between them on Sunday, Chris. But how many of those tackles were near or behind the line of scrimmage? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all 3, 4, 5, 7 yards down the field. Minkah Fitzpatrick led this team in tackles for the second week in a row. He had 11. It's not a good sign when your back end of your defense, your last line of defense, leads your team in tackles. That's the sure sign of a bad run defense. We saw it two seasons ago when Minkah Fitzpatrick was the leading tackler. That doesn't free him up to do anything else. And you're paying that guy $20 million a year to tackle people. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. He's supposed to be back there playing free safety, playing center field, getting turnovers. He can't do that because the run defense stinks.
I agree. Run defense does stink. You should have been able to shut this team. And this is a team that wasn't good at running the football either. Like, that's the bottom line, is that this was a team that they should have been able to get it straight. Like, this could have been the game that they, hey, let's get the run defense right. Let's take away the basics here and make it neutralized. And yes, the Texans at the end of the day averaged under 4 yards per carry. And in that way, like, it wasn't like they completely controlled the game with the run, but they did just enough with the run to make it so that their passing game could be effective, and that they never had a situation where CJ Stroud had to hold on to the football and trust his offensive line to hold a pocket for a long time while he had to look downfield. And that, to me, is the big problem here, is that you never, the Steelers talk about to create splash plays, you got to win on first down, win on second down, and force a tough third down. And they didn't win enough on first and second downs in this game. And they forced about 12 different third down situations, but how many of those were third and long versus third and short? I think that's often a determiner of how your day is going to go.
Chris, they won in the running game when they had to. That was early on the first drive. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of outside runs where they TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Marcus Golden didn't keep contained. And then they were able to run it inside and pop some big plays after that. So you get off to a good start. You get a lead 7-0. That builds to 16-0. Now in the second half, it gets a little bit close, but how do they pop that game open again? They run the ball a little bit better, and then they had some big plays in the passing game that kind of broke the Steelers down. So, you know, it wasn't really like the Swiss cheese run defense that we saw against McCaffrey and the 49ers, and, you know, to a lesser extent what we saw against the Browns, but it was just methodical. They controlled that game from the outset. And once you can run the ball a little bit and have that type of success, that's going to open up your passing game. So I don't care if C.J. Stroud is a rookie playing his fourth NFL game. You put any quarterback in advantageous situations where you're facing second and shorts and third and shorts, unless that guy is totally inept, Chris, you're going to have offensive success.
Yeah. And they need to find a way to, you know, Mike Tomlin talked about after the game, it's like, you know, disrupting what they want to do, disrupting their plan of attack. The Steelers didn't do that except maybe like 2 or 3 drives in the second half. You know, as far as getting out and winning them, you know, at the start of those drives, instead of, you know, trying to win in the red zone like that. And eventually, if your defense doesn't create those splash plays, you're relying on an offense that we just spent two segments basically talking about all the problems on that side of the ball, and that's what leads to a disaster like this. You get, if you don't have offensive production and you're depending on your defense can't win the early downs because they're not stopping the run, they're not taking away the screen passes that are opening things up, they're not forcing these third and long so that their edge rushers can get more one-on-ones against the backup offensive line from the Texans, then you're asking for a recipe for failure. And that's a big part of what Mike Tomlin has to address. And they have a full week. You know, this is they finally don't have a night game, you know, tagged on to, you know, an afternoon game here. So a Sunday 1 o'clock or this week, a Sunday 1 o'clock or next week. But that's at home to a Ravens team that just dismantled the Cleveland Browns. And yet the Browns were without Deshaun Watson, and there's a lot there to take in with that. But this is a Ravens team that they're coming off a really rough loss to the Colts the week before that. They're trying to head into the week with a 4-1 record. If they beat the Steelers, they could have a chance to kind of even things out, get back on top of the division, and, you know, head into the bye with 3-2 and say, all right, we can at least hit a reset button after this. But there's still so many problems across the board. And to me, Ray, that's the biggest issue, is that you look at this team, the way that they can win is clearly they can hit the occasional big play, and their edge rushers can collapse in, you know, entire offenses if they're put in the situations to do so. But can they get in those situations moving forward? That's going to be a big question of the Steelers' sign of success.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Cam Hayward isn't going to be back until maybe Thanksgiving. The young guys got to step up. The run defense has to be better on the front line. The inside linebackers have to be better. That's the only way that this defense is going to get better. You have to put TJ Watt and those other pass rushers in situations where they can affect the game, and they just cannot do that, Chris, when the other team is constantly, and I mean constantly, in favorable downs and distances. It's just not going to work.
We have a lot more to break down on this from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Get all of our content at post-gazette.com, including Ray Fittipaldo's report card. It is not kind to the Steelers. Read that at post-gazette.com, as well as all of the coverage we have from all the guys who were there. And then also, Mike Tomlin Tuesday will be coming up tomorrow. We'll see that. And do we hear any noise about what happened to Kenny Pickett? Follow all that action at post-gazette.com. From Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldo, thank you for watching the North Shore Drive podcast on YouTube or listening to us on your favorite podcasting app. Remember, we come out with this show Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, as well as sometimes with phone episodes on Saturdays. But this channel always has daily updates on all things Pittsburgh sports from our sports department at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Again, thanks for checking us out. We'll see you Wednesday with a new episode of the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.